Good afternoon. It's 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, August 3rd. I'm Brian Shields. We're in the dog days of summer. It's about time we welcome back Deanna Fox and her favorite summer pies. She joins us with recipes and numerous seasonal pies today, including blueberry and lemon meringue. If you have a question about crust, filling, or just about anything else pie-related, the number to call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Delicious pies, your calls, and Deanna Fox today, Food Friday, Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. Program begins right after the news. This is Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in program. I'm Brian Shields. It's Food Friday today, and we welcome back our favorite Deanna Fox. She is here to detail recipes for delicious summer pies. Deanna is a cooking instructor and food and agricultural journalist based in the Capital Region. Her work appears in the Times Union, the Daily Gazette, and the website all over Albany, as well as in national publications, including USA Today, The Washington Post, Eater, The Kitchen, and Beer Advocate. Deanna is also the co-host of the new WAMC podcast, Watch, Read, Listen, Feed. Her work and her classes can be found on foxonfood.com. It's all about crust, fillings, or toppings today. Summer pies on Food Friday Vox Pop. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Again, 800-348-2551. Deanna, welcome back to Vox Pop.
Thank you so much for having me.
You have brought some incredibly delicious pies. Mm-hmm. I've only had the blueberry, and it's wonderful. You also brought lemon meringue. What makes them summer pies?
Blueberry. Well, it's peak blueberry season mm-hmm. right now, so most places are either they just hit peak or they're just coming into peak on blueberries. And I tell you, New York State blueberries, they're so rich and delicious and fat. So, of course, you have to make a blueberry pie, right? What are you going to do with them otherwise? So blueberry is like quintessential July, August food. And lemon meringue, it feels like a summer pie because it feels kind of tropical. It feels very lemony.
And it's light, too.
It's light.
Right?
But lemons really come into season. You know, they're like a winter food. But who makes a lemon meringue pie in the winter? If you go to Key West, maybe you have a key lime pie, or maybe if you go south, you have lemon meringue. But I feel like most people eat lemon meringue pie in the summer.
So it really depends on the season. That's why we have pumpkin pie and mm-hmm. Apple pie in the fall.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you get your strawberry rhubarb in the spring. And, you know, there's a lot of savory pies, too. We can talk about that later.
What's a good winter pie?
A good winter pie. Well, apples. Apples yeah. last, you know, in dry storage for so long. They're great winter pies, but you can make, and you can do a lot of things with an apple too. You can just make a classic, two crust apple pie. You can do a Dutch pie. You can do, apples with cheese in it. You could do like a cheddar or a Gruyere on the bottom and then add apples. Where I come from, you do not eat an apple pie unless you have a slice of cheddar cheese with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the church ladies will slap your hands if you do not eat.
What about a scoop of ice cream on top? Did you do that?
Awesome.
Is that
good?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the church ladies have their rules, but what you do at home is on your own. Yeah. We won't tell anyone.
800-348-2551, the number to call, 800-348-2551. You can tweet your questions and comments, WAMC Vox Pop. The email address for questions and comments, voxpop@wamc.org. We're talking seasonal summer pies today with Deanna Fox. And again, the number to call, 800-348-2551. Watch, Read, Listen, and Feed. It's a new WAMC podcast starring the one and only Deanna Fox. What's it all about?
Well, it's the brainchild of WAMC's Dave Hopper, who's great. And Dave and I have had a relationship, a good, friendly working relationship for a while, and we're always exchanging ideas on who's listening to what
yeah,
are you
I'm
reading.
Yeah, I'm surprised that pie is still here with Dave in the building.
Yeah. You know? But we were talking, and it's like, you know, this should maybe be a podcast, and who else do we know that has interesting insight to add to those things? So we searched around and we found Louise Hendry, who owns Down in Denver Books in Steventown, and Jamel Mosley, who is a media producer locally. And the four of us get together. One of us picks a food, one picks a book, one a movie or something to watch, and the other something to listen to. And we get together, we kind of rate each other's suggestions. Sometimes they're flops, and the person who suggested them loved them, and sometimes they're awful, but that they're great, but it's a great time. It's available anywhere you get a podcast and on the WAMC website, too.
So do you try to mesh them? I mean, the book will go well with the pie, which will go well with the music.
No, we're not that advanced yet. It's fun. It's just a great way to kind of, we all have very different interests and we all have different specialties. Jamel works as a DJ and a music producer, and he covers music. I cover food. Louise, owning a bookstore, you know, she's great with books, and Dave is an amazing wealth of knowledge when it comes to all things movies. So we take turns suggesting things, and it's just a fun time. And the great thing is that there's audience participation. So you can listen, read, watch, and feed along with us. And you can go onto the website and you can offer your own suggestions.
You brought in an incredible blueberry pie, and you didn't skimp on the blueberries, which some people do, but mm-hmm. I mean, that's a super blueberry pie. You've got a lot of filling there.
Yeah, well, it's also, if you notice, it's not overly sweet.
No,
I really
isn't.
Don't like super, super sweet desserts. If I want a piece of candy, I'll just eat a lollipop. But I cut back on the sugar. The recipe should be on the WAMC website later. And if you want it a little bit sweeter, I'd suggest adding maybe like a quarter cup more sugar. But I really like it to taste like blueberry. If I'm eating a blueberry pie or a peach pie or an apple pie, I really want it to taste like that thing. And then, of course, vanilla ice cream.
And the crust is, I would imagine, the hardest part. Is it? I mean, you want it soft, but you don't want it too soft. You want it flaky, but you don't want it to fall apart. You know, you got to get it just right. And
it's a delicate balance between having a crust that's good and a filling that's good. Sometimes the filling is too stiff or too runny. But with the crust, you do run into that problem where it's really delicious and flaky, but it like gets stuck in your teeth, or it's really too tender and doesn't really hold up. So I use pretty much equal parts of butter and shortening, just good old plain unflavored shortening and unsalted butter. And the butter gives a lot of flakes. You need really cold butter. And when the butter is really, really cold, it releases its moisture in the oven like a big pop. So it like explodes open and it creates a lift between the layers. So you get those little pockets of air where it's crunchy and it's flaky. But if it was only that, it would get stuck in your teeth. So the little bit of shortening in there also helps to keep it kind of tender and hold it together.
Now, the blueberry pie you brought in has a crust that's, I don't know what you call it, crust?
Oh, a lattice crust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, that must be harder. And what makes the pie better? Does that make it better in your opinion? It just looks better.
It looks pretty.
Yeah.
Sure does look pretty. It's actually very, very easy to do. So you basically just cut, you roll out. You don't have to do any rhyme or reason with your top crust when you roll it out. Just enough where you can get strips out of it. And you lay your strips down in one direction and you fold every other strip back halfway. And then you lay a strip kind of cutting across like a crosshatch. And then you lay the strips that were pulled back down. The ones that weren't pulled back, you pull those back, you lay another strip, and you just kind of weave them back and forth. It's actually really, really easy to do. When people see it done in person, it's, you know, pretty simple. But I just think it looks pretty. If you're a person, though, who wants, like, a thick layer of crust on top, mm-hmm. this probably isn't for you because you get all those little pockets of berries that pop through.
Our guest last week on Food Friday loved King Arthur flour. What's your favorite?
Mm-hmm. I use King Arthur, too.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I think it's a good flour. And all-purpose, you know, it's going to be consistent every time. It's milled really well, so King Arthur.
800-348-2551, the number to call. It's Food Friday. It's Vox Pop. It's 800-348-2551. Tweet your questions and comments as well at WAMC Vox Pop, or you can email us voxpop@wamc.org. Pies today, seasonal pies for this wet summer. 800-348-2551. You also do some teaching. Are cooks born really good, or can anybody become a great cook?
Anybody can become a great cook. I think there's, you know, people think what being a good cook is somebody who can do like a multi-course dinner at their house without messing up too many dishes, and it's perfect every time, mm-hmm. and there's no flour on the ceiling, and that's definitely not what it is. It's just having some basic essentials, a few back pocket recipes that you kind of just, it's almost like muscle memory. You know them by heart, you can whip them out, when you need to. And that's what a good cook is, just understanding the basics of food and then being able to expand on those concepts. Because I really feel like there's only 10 recipes in the world. And then it's like a family tree and everything's like derivative of those 10 recipes. So when you get those 10 basics down, you can kind of do anything.
Why is it sometimes you can follow directions to the letter exactly and it just doesn't come out right and you're scratching your head? What did I do wrong?
Well, you know, it's all in like people's hand. And I think that's a big thing like with baking. And you were talking about flour. So there's two ways that you can measure flour. You can do it by weight or you can do it by volume. When you do it by weight, you get out your little kitchen scale and you zero out the bowl and then you measure until you get to grams, ounces, whatever you're measuring by. When you do it by volume, that's where you do it with the measuring cup. And the problem that people run into is they just go right into the bag of flour or right in the container. And so you get some that's kind of clumped together and some that's kind of loose, and it's not a very accurate measure. So every time you scoop that way, you aren't getting the same measurement every time. So if you actually use a spoon and kind of spoon it in and fluff up your flour a little bit and then take a butter knife to scrape it level across the top, you're getting a very accurate measure every time. So that helps.
And the ovens are different, I imagine. 450 at one oven is not always 450. Right. At the next oven, you got to kind of get used to your
oven. Yeah, it's like $3 for those little thermometers that you pop into the oven. They kind of hang, or you can just sit them on the shelf in the oven, and they're great.
The calls are coming in. It's 800-348-2551. Vox Pop Food Friday Pies today. 800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from Big Elm Brewing. Tap room open Thursday through Sunday, noon to 7 p.m. Crafting ales and lagers in Sheffield, Massachusetts since 2012. BigElmBeer.com. Convena Wine Bar, Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 70 wines by the glass and a full menu from afternoon snack through nightcap. Live music Sundays and Mondays. Outdoor seating, Thorns Marketplace. ConvenaWineBar.com. Delmar Farmers Market, 332 Kenwood Avenue, Delmar. Celebrating 10 years of local and organic farm products, baked goods, fair trade crafts, music, and more every Saturday from 9 to 1, delmarmarket.org. Warwick Valley Farmers Market, the 25th season of bringing fresh from the farm food ready for the table, weekly new foods from artisan vendors on Sundays 9 through 2, warwickvalleyfarmersmarket.org. And Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats. Home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days. Pekarskys.com.
We're talking pies today with Deanna Fox on Food Friday Vox Pop at 800-348-2551. Norma in Williamstown. Norma, go ahead.
Yes, hi. I was wondering if you could tell me, what's the best way to keep your pie filling from getting too runny? I tend to make a lot of apple pies, and I end up with a lot of liquid at the bottom of the pie. And I've tried adding more flour. I've tried adding more cornstarch. So what is it that you recommend using?
Yeah, I think a lot of people run into that problem, Norma. What I recommend is, A, checking the type of apple that you're using. Sometimes if it's an apple that's more of an eating apple than a baking apple, it has more residual sugars and liquid in it, and not as much pectin. So I really like Golden Delicious, I think, is like the absolute best pie apple. But if you can get like an old like Northern Spy or a Russet or a Pippin, those are great. Otherwise, I really like Empire. But there's a couple of things. So with your filling, I actually use instant tapioca. Tapioca is going to soak. So it's just like the, you know, the red box on the grocery store shelf. And they, those little pearls of tapioca will soak up so much more water than flour or cornstarch will. And they also don't lend any flavor. So if you've ever bitten into a pie where it wasn't really cooked through all the way, you've got like that chalky, like cornstarch flour taste. Yeah, that'll do it. But you can try too. Apples have a ton of pectin in them. And sometimes that pectin needs a little bit of time to activate. So you can do two things. You can mix all of your pie filling ingredients together and let it sit for like 30 minutes before you put it into the pie. And you'll notice that there's a lot of liquid in there, but that should all cook up pretty well. Or you can actually cook mm-hmm. your apples down in a little butter first, and that's going to help to activate the pectin, release some of the liquid, mm-hmm. and then it should thicken up for you.
So when you cook it down, do you, or if you let it sit for mm-hmm. 30 minutes, say, do you include the liquid into the pie, or do you leave the liquid at the bottom of the bowl?
Yep, you can add the liquid in. So you can put it right into the pie, and what happens is that it's actually drawn out a lot of the pectin. It's helped to develop some of the pectin in the fruit. So even mm-hmm. though it looks really liquidy, it actually thickens up a lot better.
And does that apply also to other fruits, like blueberries or peaches?
Yeah, and also, yep, and be mindful, too, of using fresh versus frozen. Fresh mm-hmm. take a little bit longer to release their juices. So sometimes you end up with a runnier pie just because it hasn't taken as long to kind of meld with your thickening agent. Whereas frozen mm-hmm. berries release their liquid really quickly. And so they end up being a little bit thicker. Mm-hmm. But you can always add a little bit of corn, a little bit of the tapioca and maybe like a tablespoon of flour. And that should do it for you.
Mm-hmm. So like a teaspoon or a tablespoon of tapioca?
How much? Quarter cup.
Quarter cup. Oh,
quarter
okay.
cup. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thank you for calling, Norma. 800-348-2551. What's pectin?
Pectin is the thing that you add to, like, jelly to make it go from being sweet juice to jelly. It gives it that, like, it's almost like a gelatin, mm-hmm. except it's a natural product. And it's blueberries have a lot of it. Lemons have a lot of it. Apples have a lot of it. So you can Google it online and find, like, a homemade pectin recipe. That's just lemon and apples cooked down, but you can buy it commercially too.
800-348-2551. All about delicious summer pies today with Deanna Fox on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551. Elliot is calling from the Berkshires. Elliot in Lenox.
Good. Good to talk to you both. Question. When I was growing up, I grew up on an island and we had raw blueberries and they were very, very small. But when we did cooking comparisons with the big blueberries and these small wild ones, the small wild ones were always far more flavorful. Is that the case, or is this just some special situation we were in?
I think it could be. The blueberry pie we're eating today is actually wild blueberries, so they're the little tiny guys. They're not like the little shooting marbles. They're little tiny berries. And I do think that I really love the taste of them, and I just like the texture that they give the pie, too. They give more of a uniform, tighter filling, whereas the big blueberries will kind of lend to a looser filling. So when I have the local big blueberries, I use them more for like cobblers and crisps than I do for pie.
Because where do you get the small ones?
You can get them. Yeah, any grocery store will have them in the frozen section. In the frozen section with all the other frozen fruit, you can find them anywhere.
Oh, I was thinking, I've just been looking in the fresh food section.
Yeah. Nope.
I've never seen them there, but you're saying go to the frozen food section, that's where they'll be.
That's where they are, yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you for calling, Elliot. 800-348-2551. Let's go to Hudson. James is in Hudson. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm trying to think of my favorite summer pie, which is, I used to go to Balthus of Bakery when I was in the city. A budget issue is the crust. You make it like a simple pizza crust, and then you throw on whatever fruit you have, and then you throw and maybe add a little custard, and throw it in the oven for like a few minutes, and it's like the best thing in the world.
That sounds fruit and custard together sound amazing. That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling 800-348-2551. We have an email, a very simple question from Jude. What about blueberry buckle? What is blueberry buckle?
You're speaking to my heart. This is my favorite topic. So a buckle is the same thing as a cobbler, as a slump, as a grunt. So they're all in the same family. Cobbler is kind of like the umbrella term for a lot of those things. The way that a buckle is a little bit different than a cobbler, slump, or a grunt is... that the crust that you put on top is a little bit more like a crisp. It's got maybe oatmeal in it, so it helps to make it a little bit more crunchy. But yeah, blueberry buckle is the way to go. If you go onto the Times Union website and you Google that, or you search that on the Times Union website with my name, my recipe for it is actually there, so you can find it.
Also, from Tina, Do you have a vegan crust recipe you could share?
Sure. I think on the website they have my crust recipe. And to make it vegan, you would just use all shortening. So you might end up with a slightly less flaky crust. But if you get that really, really cold, and you can even roll out your pie dough and then put it in your pie plate and then freeze that thing and freeze it for like 30 minutes so it gets really, really cold, that'll help to make it flaky. So just use all shortening and it's vegan.
Let the pie cool off, too. The old, the pie on the windowsill. People probably don't do that anymore. But how long do you just got to let it cool down, don't you?
Yeah, and that's a big thing, like with apple pies and a lot of those kind of fruit pies. You got to let those liquid and the pectin and the thickening agent kind of work together. But I made these pies just a few hours ago, and they're still a little bit warm. But you really do got to let them sit for like an hour or two.
800-348-2551. Hyde Park. Charlie, go ahead.
Hey, I'm a millennial, and I often pick my recipes just looking at the first couple of results online. And I just recently did that, and I was making a peach crumble, and it came out far too sweet. I was wondering if you had tips for just, like, looking at a couple recipes, picking one, things to be looking out for, any tips along those lines.
Yeah, well, first of all, if you Google a recipe and it comes up with my name on it, you can, if you saw me right now, you would know that I tested all of my recipes thoroughly. They have all been tested. But that's the big thing. You have to go with a source where you know they've tested the recipe. So a lot of cooking blogs, they make something once or they just slightly adapt something from another blog that they found, and they didn't really test it thoroughly. But if you go onto something like Martha Stewart, Bon Appetit, Epicurious, any of those things, you know, America's Test Kitchen, Cook's Country, those have been thoroughly vetted. They have been tested at least a dozen times. They are bomb-proof recipes, and they'll work for you. So go with a trusted name.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. 800-348-2551. Email voxpop@wamc.org. It's Food Friday. Today it's Deanna Fox. We're talking about summer pies. 800-348-2551. And it's Emily in Shelburne Falls. Emily?
Hi. Sorry. It's so hot and dry. Lost my voice. Good afternoon.
Hello.
I have two questions. I have a second round of rhubarb coming up. Is that any good to use?
Sometimes it's just a little bit tougher, and that's really.
Would you use that in a jam instead of a pie then?
I would use it in a pie too. It would be fine in a pie. I would probably chop it up a little bit smaller than you might in your spring rhubarb. But it's fine. And you can also find recipes for like rhubarb curd and things like that where you're kind of cooking it and just getting the juice and the essence out without a lot of the fiber. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that for meat sauces, which really come out really delicious too. Also, I have some rose hips. Do you ever do anything with rose hips or?
Rose hips are great. They have so much vitamin C in them that a lot of times I'll try to distill. I'll kind of boil them in some shallow water, and then I'll take the top of the lid for the pot, and I'll turn it upside down so the handle's actually facing in towards the pot, and you kind of, like, can distill some of the juice, the essence, the oils out of the rose hips. But you can make rose hip jam, too, and that stuff is, it's got so much vitamin C in it, it's really great for you.
Do you cut off the ends, the little, you know, like the little apple?
I don't know if you should or not. I never do. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just throw those all in whole and boil it until.
Right. Exactly.
Forever.
Yeah.
An hour?
Yeah.
An
probably,
hour?
Yeah, probably about an hour. You really want to get them nice and soft. When they're soft and you feel like you can kind of push them with your fingers, then you're good. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Love the show, Miss Ray, but love you too, Brian.
Thank you. Ray will be back on Monday, and it's 800-348-2551. Let's talk to Jenny in Hudson. Jenny, go ahead.
Hello. I'm the pie maker in my family, and my dad, who unfortunately passed away last month, was the pie eater. And here, when you were talking about your church ladies and their slice of cheese, it reminded me of him because he always had to have a slice of cheddar. Whenever I made an apple pie, and he used to have this little saying that he would say every time I gave him a slice of pie.
I know exactly the one you're going to say. Go for it.
A pie without cheese is like a kiss without a squeeze.
Yep. But it's true, right? You can't have one without the other. That's right.
I've tried making crusts that have cheddar cheese in them.
Yeah, and they're good. How did you have, did you have luck?
Not really. I used one of my mom's old cookbooks from the 70s. I forget which one it was, like the Betty Crocker cookbook or something. And it wasn't flaky enough. It was too dense.
Okay. Yeah, I would just, you don't need a lot to get that cheddar flavor. So I usually just use like a cup of really sharp shredded cheddar cheese. More than that kind of makes it too dense, like you said. But just like a cup into just your average pie crust recipe. It doesn't have to be anything different.
I'm not brave enough to do my own pie crust. I always use the rollout Pillsbury ones.
All
I cheat.
Well, you got to go on to the WAMC website and get the pie crust recipe that's up there, and you'll have luck every time, I promise.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
You too.
Thank you very much. And again, the podcast on WAMC with Deanna and friends, watch, read, listen, and feed, and her website, foxonfood.com, foxonfood.com. Right now, our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. And Faye is calling from Porter Corners. Faye.
Hi there, Deanna.
Hi.
I am the pie maker of Porter Corners, New York, and anybody will tell you that I make an excellent pie. But I have a problem with my lemon meringue. The meringue never stays to the end. It always shrinks.
Yeah. So there's...
And I wondered if you had any... help for me.
Yeah, there's two things you can do. The first one is to not let your filling, the lemon filling, go completely cool. You want it to stay a little bit warm. So usually in the time that takes you to like pour the filling in and then you go and make the meringue, it's usually about the perfect temperature. So start there. And the second one is you got to spread the meringue all the way to the edge of the pie, right over the crust. You don't want it to go down into your pie tin, your pie plate, but you want it to go right over the crust. And what that's going to do is, you know, egg is so sticky. If you get it on your hands, you know, egg white on your hands, it's so, so sticky. It's just protein and water. So when you get it to, you know, the craggly edges of your pie crust, it actually like forms a little seal, and that will do it. So go all the way to the edge.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try that again because I always resort to putting like creamy Cool Whip over it, telling them that it always shrinks to the end, you know,
yeah.
I have a little tip.
Don't put your oven up too high either. 400 is a good temperature for the lemon meringue
okay.
top. Yeah.
All right. And I have a little tip for your folks out there. On a lot of my berry pies, I always add a little almond extract.
Delicious.
Okay.
Yeah.
But thank you. My husband told me I was missing a good show today because I'm a pie maker. He says, so he come in and he turned it right on for me.
Oh,
so
perfect.
Thank you very much. I'm listening, and it's very interesting.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you for calling, Faye. 800-348-2551. Your meringue didn't shrink. That's a pretty lofty meringue pie right there.
It was even higher.
Was it?
I think I cooled it too fast. Sometimes if you cool it, if you put it in the fridge too quickly, it kind of loses a little bit of its volume. So it was double that.
800-348-2551. Let's talk to Sarah and Beckett. Sarah, go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on the vegan pie crust. Uh-huh. I've been vegan for over 25 years, and the shortening of choice for me is avocado oil.
Oh.
Avocado gives it a very, all baking, a very buttery flavor. So I use... cookies, crumble, pie crust, always avocado oil.
I'll have to try that. I've never tried it. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you very much for calling. It's 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Also, comments and questions over the tweet at WAMC Vox Pop. You can email us your questions and comments as well. VoxPop@WAMC.org. But again, the number to call is 800-348-2551. Eric is in West Stockbridge.
Hi, how are you today?
We're good.
Do you have any experience with low-carb crusts using something like coconut flours or nut flours, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I've definitely tried those before. Not with a ton of luck, but I don't really – it's not something I've spent a lot of time trying to work out. You definitely have to add some xanthan gum or something like that, just to help it stick together a little bit better. Mm-hmm. But it's just like anything, you know, the nice thing about pie crust is that it doesn't need a lot of gluten in it in order to really hold together. You could even use like a pastry flour. So when you use something like an almond flour or a coconut flour, you usually have decent luck. So you might have to add a little bit less water than you usually would because they're milled finer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you just, you should be able to adapt. I would just, if you find a regular pie crust recipe that you want to use but change out the flours, just be very judicious with your water and just add like a tablespoon at a time to make sure you don't get it too wet. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Take care.
It's 800-348-2551. More calls on Vox Pop in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from the Egremont Village Inn, presenting chops, kraut, and croutons with Time on Fire, Saturday, August 4th, August 8th through the 12th, Fun Home, based on a graphic novel by Allison Bechtel. Open mic every Sunday, theegremontbarn.com. Field Goods, local food from small farms delivered weekly to workplace and community locations, working to help people change the way they eat while supporting small sustainable farms, field-goods.com. Henry's at the Farm Restaurant, Buttermilk Falls, Milton. Taking reservations for August's Riverfront Patio Pairing Dinner, featuring champagnes from the House of Bill Carr, Salmon, France, Sunday, August 26th, buttermilkfallsinn.com. Flying Deer Nature Center, offering nature connection experiences in summer day camps and fall programs for teens, adults, homeschoolers, and kindergartners, flyingdeernaturecenter.org. And the Black Sheep Downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter-scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com.
It is Food Friday on Vox Pop. It's all about pies today with Deanna Fox, and the number is 800-348-2551. A couple of quick emails. Tom writes in, a suggestion for the small blueberries. Look in the freezer section of the store for the wild blueberries or wild Maine blueberries. Thank you, Tom. And let's see. Kirsten, quince is a great source of pectin. When you slice the fruit through the core, you can see pure pectin clumped around the seeds. The quince doesn't have much flavor, so if you substitute half a quince for half an apple in each pie, you may not need to add any more pectin. Have you ever done that?
No.
First of all, what is quince?
Quince is this like ugly little fruit. It's like a little oversized tennis ball, and they're hard, and you can't really eat them raw. But if you've ever had membrillo, which is like the little jelly that they put on cheese plates, mm-hmm. that's just quince paste. It's cooked down, but it's like a mix between a pear and an apple, essentially.
Also, Mark writes in, I love a good banana cream pie, but they never last for more than a day. Some supermarkets are starting to sell banana cream pies that not only stay on the shelf for days, but also don't need to be refrigerated. This scares me. What is your secret for making the best banana cream pie, Mark?
Well, a lot of cream pies, they don't last. Lemon meringue pie is one of those. You have to make it like that day and eat it that day. Just the nature of the cream, the wetness of the filling soaking into the crust, everything gets soggy. But those grocery store pies, a lot of times they use like a soy lecithin instead of an egg, which is basically the same thing. They're binding agents and they hold everything together, but they don't always have to be refrigerated or they have a longer shelf life. So it's usually some sort of like replacement like that. But a really good banana cream pie should just be, you know, almost like just ripe bananas. They shouldn't be too ripe. They should be just starting to turn that beautiful yellow color. And like a really good vanilla pudding recipe and some delicious whipped cream. And that's about it.
800-348-2551. Donna is calling from Galloway. Donna?
Hi. What a delicious program. I have a comment about the blueberry, the frozen blueberries, and wondered if you find the same reaction. And that is, the skin seems to be tougher, much tougher than one that's just been refrigerated.
Yeah.
Do you find that?
I don't. No, I guess I haven't really paid attention, but I think that I'm cooking them for so long that everything gets a little soft. But I'm definitely going to pay attention to that next time I use them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then another thought I have, well, question, is help with weeping lemon meringue pie.
Yeah, it's tough. So when you say weeping, you mean that the meringue gives out a little bit of liquid, right?
Well, the meringue does, but it seems to be my particular filling.
Okay.
When I make it. And if it's fine when you first serve it, but if it stays overnight for some strange reason,
yeah,
that it wasn't all gobbled up, it seems to weep the next day.
That's not you. That's just lemon meringue pie, unfortunately. And one trick that you can do is try just finding like a lemon curd recipe instead of a lemon meringue pie, because that usually is thicker. That's what I use.
Yes.
And my recipe should be on the WAMC website. But you can try that. And then the other thing, too, is, you know, make sure that you really bake that pie. When you put the meringue on, give it a good 15 minutes in the oven. Let it get that nice golden color on top. And that will help a little bit, too.
Okay. And the last question is about gravel or the crumble on top of wonderful pies. And I prefer not using oats.
Okay.
But just the sugar and butter and flour.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have, perhaps it's the proportions that I use? I'd love to hear your recipe.
I can't tell you my recipe off the top of my head, but you can definitely omit the oats. That's totally fine. You can add in some finely chopped nuts if you wanted to. Walnuts are like a good use for walnuts. But really, if you look up a streusel recipe, a streusel is just brown sugar, granulated sugar, butter, and flour, and usually like some salt or a little cinnamon or, you know, something to give it some flavor. Look for a streusel recipe, and that will give you what you're looking for.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Donna. Take care.
Thank you, Donna. 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday. It's Fox Pop. It's all about pies today with Deanna Fox. To the town of Niskayuna, Shazara.
Hi. I am not sure if my question was answered by a previous caller, but I'll give you my question, and then I'll let you go ahead and answer. I recently made two strawberry rhubarb pies, one with an oatmeal crumble topping and one with a traditional crust topping, and the flavor was fabulous, but all the recipe reviews I read said, two tablespoons of quick tapioca wasn't enough, and so I used four.
Okay.
But what I found was that the tapioca didn't absorb the liquid, and I had a weepy pie. And what I specifically did was I mixed all of my ingredients for the filling except the sugar, because I didn't want it to start drawing out the liquid from the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And then only when I had my chilled pie crust and my top ready did I mix in the sugar and then put it in the crust. And it just did not absorb at all. I'm wondering if my tapioca may have been old. Could that have done that? And also, so for any fruit pie, what's the answer to that problem? And then if you have time, when I make a chocolate pudding, a butterscotch pudding, a vanilla pudding, if we scoop out of a large bowl, and that spoon has never gone in somebody's mouth, but it's scoop out of a large bowl, go back to that pudding the next day, it's watery.
Okay. So let me, those are all great questions. Let me answer the runny pie first. So actually, you do need to add the sugar in. So what's going to happen is the tapioca, the sugar is going to, it's called macerating. So it's going to macerate the berries and pull the juice out of the berries or whatever fruit you're using. The rhubarb. Rhubarb is hard to get a lot of liquid out of until it's baked. But it will help. And then that's going to allow the tapioca more time to do the thing that tapioca does, which is soak up all of that. So you actually do want to add your sugar in. And then you can, a couple of things too, you could do like half tapioca and half just all-purpose flour. That will work. But tapioca is like kind of a granular little piece of salt almost. So if you actually just put it in like a spice blender or you know, like your food processor, measure out how much you need and just pulse it through so it gets really powdery. That will help too. And the other thing is you can kind of pre-cook your filling if you want to. If you really want it to thicken up, you can put it on a sauce pot and just help to speed up releasing a lot of its liquid. As far as the pudding goes, that's just what happens. That's just all the residual water that's left over from the cooking process. So it's going to kind of, it's very scientific, it's very science-y, and I won't explain it all to you. But what essentially is happening is that those molecules are just pulling away from each other, and that water is lighter, so it's rising up. So that's all that is. But if you put some saran wrap on it, some plastic wrap, but put it directly onto the surface of your filling, that will help a little bit.
Great. Yeah. Great. So let me just go back to the fruit pie for a moment. So I should mix all of the ingredients along with the sugar and let it sit in the bowl while I prepare my crust, because that extra amount of time will help the tapioca to absorb, and I can throw my tapioca into a spice grinder to kind of pulverize it, and that will also help.
Yes, it will. Perfect.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, take care.
Thank you. It's 800-348-2551. The number to call, 800-348-2551. We're talking about pies today with Deanna Fox. She brought in some blueberries, some lemon meringue. It's all about summer pies, but just about any pie will do. We didn't mention cherry pie. Is that a tough one?
Cherry pie is only tough because you need sour cherries to make a cherry pie, and they're just like hard to get. So you can get them frozen sometimes, but that's like such a short season. I think it was like 2 weeks this year. I didn't even get any. But people just don't, especially around here, they don't grow sour cherries as much. And the last few years, the cherry harvest has been terrible. So I think that there was a dearth of cherry pie.
That can filling, no good?
Well, I mean,
it's all right.
You could, yeah, if you had to.
It's 800-348-2551. Vox Pop Food Friday on WAMC at 800-348-2551. You know, people pair food with wine. Do you pair pies with dinner? I mean, what's a good
turkey? Sure.
After turkey, we have apple pie. What goes good with blueberry?
So I had a couple of friends over for dinner this week, and I made a blueberry pie. And for dinner, we had just a really simple steak with some chimichurri on it, some grilled sweet potatoes. We made like a charred bean salad, so corn salad, fresh plums and nectarines that were made like a caprese salad. So they had basil and mozzarella in with the nectarines and the plums. So just really, really simple food. But I mean, can you really go wrong with a pie? If you're having a dinner party, you can make the pie the night before or in the morning. You don't have to worry about it. Everybody's happy. Put some ice cream on it. You're good.
We talked about putting ice cream and a little hunk of cheese there. Mm-hmm. Usually vanilla. What other ice cream goes good?
Butter pecan. Maple walnut, if you have a little pumpkin pie or apple pie. If you have cherry pie, you could do maybe like an almond ice cream or an almond gelato or a pistachio gelato would be really good. Blueberry pie and lemon ice cream are like heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get all sorts of crazy. You can do chocolate, cherry and chocolate ice cream would be awesome. Peach and ginger ice cream. So.
And pairing beverages. I mean, there's nothing like coffee and apple pie, but beer and apple pie works pretty well.
Absolutely. There's so many great, almost like dessert beers. They have some sort of essence of a fruit pie in them. So you could do like a lambic, like a sour cherry lambic with a fruit pie.
Have you ever tried something, just experimented with a pie and it just didn't work? Some odd fruit, some odd ingredient that you thought, you know, this might work, and no,
well,
it didn't.
It took me a really long time to learn how to make a pie. I grew up next door to a church lady, Mrs. Stiles, an amazing, amazing baker. People would come literally from 100 miles around to buy this woman's pie at any kind of local bake sale.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there with her and watched her make pies dozens of times, and I just never cared. I was like a kid and I was dumb. And then by the time I was an adult and had a family and wanted to learn how to make pie, she was gone. And it was all of that knowledge just gone. And so it took me a really, really long time to really understand the mechanics of a pie. And when you have, if you have somebody in your family who, or, you know, somebody nearby who makes a pie, just it will make them so happy, and it will give you a gift that is wonderful. If you bring a pie to somebody, it's such an extension of like yourself and love. You can't go wrong. And it's something that you can pass down too.
I imagine Mrs. Stiles had the rolling pin. Did she use the rolling pin?
She did. She actually left me her rolling pin when she passed away.
Really?
It's like it barely works anymore. It's all swollen and it's just pegged in. But it hangs in my kitchen, and Yeah, it's pretty awesome that I have that.
The stories it could tell.
Yes.
800-348-2551. It's 800-348-2551. Pecan pie or pecan, if you prefer.
Yeah.
Is that a tough one?
No. Oh, my gosh. That's so easy. Yeah. That's like the easiest one to make. You can do... The crust that we have on these pies is called a pâte brisée, which is the French term, or an American short crust. And basically, it's just an unsweetened, like a butter, flour, salt pie, water. That's about it. With pecan pie, you can do that crust. You can do a graham cracker crust, a chocolate graham cracker crust, a cookie, some other kind of cookie crust. But it's really just taking eggs. I use a little bourbon. Maple syrup.
A little bourbon, huh?
Just a little. Just a little. Just give it a little kick. Corn syrup, some sugars, and then your nuts that you want to toast them first. That's the trick. Put them in the oven at 350 for like just until they're fragrant. When you can smell them, take them out. Any longer than that, they're going to burn. And then just bake it, and it just kind of gels together. It's a no-fail pie.
You've mentioned butter a number of times today. You never said margarine.
Ugh,
no margarine, huh?
You're out. Go away. Why would you say that? Margarine was originally developed as a chemical to fatten turkeys.
Really?
And I
thought it came from the rationing of World War II, maybe?
After that, yeah. The turkey thing was like 1900s, and then there's a whole story about taxes with Canada, and it's a story.
Yeah. No margarine. Down with margarine.
No.
Linda in Williamstown. Go ahead.
Hi.
Go ahead.
My name is Linda. Hi.
Yeah,
I actually am just passing on information about pies because I am a pie connoisseur in the neighborhood. I've been making pies since I was a little girl, and what I've developed is a pie where I decorate it like a cake.
Mm.
I color the dough, and I make Santa Claus and stars, whatever is happening with the holiday or the occasion that I'm making a pie for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to pass that along because it's not something that you hear about every day.
No, it sounds like a lot of work, but I bet it's amazing.
Thank you very much for calling, Linda. And drive carefully. It sounds like it's raining crazy there. Stone Ridge, Susan, let's see. Susan, go ahead in Stone Ridge.
Yes, hi. I have a question about my pie crust swapping. I took a course at the CIA in Hyde Park, and he taught us to make our pie crust the way you do with a mix of butter and Crisco, and it never fails.
Mm-hmm.
However, no matter what I do, when I crimp, my crust just flops over. I never get a nice crimp that stays. What would you suggest I'm doing wrong or could do right?
It's just you got to keep the dough cold. So if it starts to feel a little bit warm and sticky on your fingers, if you feel like you need to put flour on your hands to get it to not stick, just pop that baby back into the fridge, even in the freezer for a couple of minutes so that that butter firms up. And then you can actually, once it's all crimped together, you can put it in the fridge for like 10 minutes. And the colder that it is when you put it into the oven, the better that your crimp is going to stay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And what do you bake, like a cherry or an apple pie, at 400?
All of my pies I do, I start them at 425, because what you want to do is you want to sear that pie together. You want to get really hot, and do not, under any circumstance, unless the stove is actually on fire, don't open the oven door. You want to get as much heat around there, and it's going to actually seal everything together, and it's going to create this nice, you know, crust. Everything, all of the proteins that are in there are going to turn into carbon. And they're delicious. And then after like 20 minutes, I turn it down to 375 and I let it finish. So start at 425 and then go down to 375.
Great. Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. It's always a wonderful show. So thank you so very much.
Thank you for calling, Susan. 800-348-2551. Hey, how did cakes get the monopoly on birthdays? Why aren't there any birthday pies? Have you ever had one?
Yeah. My dad is an August baby, and it's peach pie every time. So.
Yeah. You put a candle in it?
Sometimes.
Frosting?
Yeah.
You ever put anything on a pie rather than the crust? I mean...
Oh, sure.
Something to add?
You definitely could, especially with like a cream pie. You can decorate that a little bit more. But on the... you can really get crazy with the crust. It's called pie art. It's not a thing. It's like an Instagram thing. And people do all sorts of crazy designs with their crust. And sometimes it doesn't always hold when it bakes, but it sure does look pretty.
And you'll be teaching. You're teaching now?
Yes. So I teach at in Albany at Different Drummer's Kitchen. And my partner, Caroline Barrett, and I run the store, run the cooking school. And I'm teaching a class on Greek food on Tuesday, and there's still a couple of spots left. So if you want to sign up, it's just differentdrummerskitchen.com.
Any pie courses?
We just did our pie course, but we will do another one in like late October, early November for fall pies, Thanksgiving time, that kind of thing.
One more question about putting the pie in the oven. You preheat to 425.
Yes.
Yeah, you just don't.
Right, right. Make sure it's at 425 before you put it in. Yeah.
Throw it in there. Don't open the door for how long again?
Like 20 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. And then down to 375 for the remainder.
It is all over. Boy, that was a great show. And I put on some weight as well during the program. Thanks to Deanna. We are just about out of time. My apologies to those people left on the line. And for more about the tips and recipes we discussed today on the show, visit our website, wamc.org. Deanna, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for having me.
Support for Food Friday comes from Rolling Rock Farm, Salt and Seasonings, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Handcrafted in small batches, infused sea salts, peppers, and blends. Specializing in garlic and hot pepper blends, rollingrocksalt.com for upcoming events. Cafe Capriccio chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982. Grand Street, Albany, New York, cafecapriccio.com. Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, outdoor market, Saturdays 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on River Street. Over 80 local farms and food vendors weekly. TroyMarket.org for information. Thanks to our engineer, Jordan Taylor. Barb King took your calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Brian Shields. Thanks again for joining us on Vox Pop. Back next week, Medical Monday. Enjoy the weekend. Stay tuned now for a news update.